I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. I don't know whether you've been tracking this or not, but over the past 6 weeks, we have been looking at some of the characteristics that God would have you and I develop. That's a challenge. It's something that we never arrive at. We simply strive to get as close as we can to what God would have us be. In doing that, Galatians tells us that there is an opposite in the same chapter. After talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the writer goes on, Paul goes on and says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another." When you read that, you have to be reminded of Romans, the seventh chapter, starting with verse 14. In Romans 7, beginning with verse 14, Paul talks about the struggle that we all have with life. And I guess maybe one of the reasons I have loved that passage and have read it a few million times is that it describes my struggle. My struggle as a weak human being, as one who perhaps doesn't always accomplish what I want to. That passage says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual." Yeah. "Soul is a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do it. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, there is no longer I myself doing it, but it is sin living within me." Sin lives within us. We allow that. He goes on and he says, "I know there is nothing good that lives in me." That's verse 18. "That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out." I don't know about you, but that describes my life. A lot of times I see stuff I wish I could do that's the right thing to do, but I find all the excuses not to do it. "For what I do is not the good I want to do, but it's the evil that I don't want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I know I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Oh, yeah. When you turn on your television set, sin is right there with you. When you find yourself in a situation with people who are perhaps deep in sin themselves, it's so easy to get swept up in that. "From in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that works within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" The passage goes on and says that we have thanks to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 8, chapter 1, the next verse says, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If you go on in Galatians again, starting with verse 19, it says, "The opposite of gentleness is," and here's the quote, fornication, lewdness. Lewdness means pornography. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murderers, drunkenness, revelries. All the stuff we see in the world around us. So how do you become the gentle person that is the fruit of the Spirit? That's what we want to talk about this morning. So how do you become a gentle person? It doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean passive. It doesn't mean unconvinced, unconvicted. It means gentle. You know what's interesting about that in our culture as a whole? When is domestic violence the biggest problem in our country? What time of year? Answer, between Halloween and New Year's. Let your mind chew on that for a minute. And it's not by a small factor. I mean, it's like twice what it is in June. Why? I would suggest to you, first of all, that we need to understand that gentleness comes with wisdom. And we are raised to be anything but gentle. Think about it for a minute. What do you see when you watch movies? Whether it's real or whether it's cosmetic, what you see is violence. I look over Deacon's shoulder sometimes when he's playing his little video games to children. What do I see? Violence. And we've gone through a thing with him recently where he comes in, he's been watching The Hulk. And he comes in and he takes the stance. See, we have been raised, and we are raising kids with movies, with television, with video games, to be violent. And you know something, as you get older, you either get gentler or you get rougher. Think about that again. This is biblical. You either get gentle or you get rougher. And one of the things you have to learn to cope with is not always having your own way. You know, having a four-year-old living with me for the last 2 months, one of the things that I have observed is how a child deals with not having his own way. I think in Deacon it may be expressed a little more radically than in some kids. But if you say no, he has a temper tantrum. And one of his favorite activities is to scream anytime he doesn't get his way. And I see Brenda sitting there. Does this sound familiar to you? How many adults do you know that do the same thing? How many adults do you know that when they don't get their own way, essentially they just scream? It may be with tears, it may be with anger, it may be throwing things. I don't point fingers back here. It's so true that many of us never grow up. And we all have that internal stuff that says, I want my own way. And when we don't get our way, we do what the four-year-old does. We scream. And one of the things that happens as you get older is you learn not to scream. You learn to be gentle. Now, not all of us. I'm sure Bill Gibson could sit there any time of the day and tell you the latest screaming incident he's seen in his campground. We have a lot of immature adults that scream every time they don't get their way. How do you do that? Elder qualifications revolve around being gentle. 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 7, and Titus 1, verses 6 through 9. Here are the qualifications for an elder. Blameless, not self-willed, not soon to anger, a lover of hospitality, no striker, in other words, no hitter, just, holy, temperate, patient, and a good report of those who are without. There have been a lot of people in my life that I have envied, respected, envied because they have reached a level I wish I could reach, that I hope I eventually can reach. Hiller Story is one of my favorite examples. Hiller Story was the preacher in St. Joe for many years. We were involved with him in Florida. We were involved with him in Italy. And what was interesting to me, when we made contact with the Italian people, not people in the church, but when we met people in Italy who knew Hiller's stories, you know what they would call him? The gentle one. He's a missionary for Christ. He's preaching the gospel of Christ. He worked in Italy for 7 years, maybe longer than that. And people in the community knew him as the gentle one. What an example. What a challenge. A good report of those who are without. Oh, how we need to strive to be that kind of person. In James, the third chapter, beginning with verse 18, the writer talks about, beginning with verse 13, I'm sorry, the writer talks about some ways you and I can work that. Again, I'm in James, the third chapter, starting with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and self-ambition, you will find disorder and evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's verse 17. In your private study, let's read that a few hundred times. Characteristics you and I can do. Peacemakers who sow in peace and raise a harvest of righteousness. In our Tuesday night Devo this past week, we spent the whole evening talking about being peacemakers. God expects us as Christians to be people who are peacemakers, who do not envy. Let me ask you something. How much does envy drive your life? How do you deal with want to? Every time I stand up here and I look across that window back there, I see a car. Sometimes they're pretty fancy cars. What happens if I save up my money and I get that fancy car? Now, you've all done that. I've done it. It may not be a car. It may be a boat. It may be an appliance. But we all have a desire, and frequently it's precipitated by being by somebody who we envy who got it. Okay, let's suppose you get it. Let's suppose you get that car or that appliance or that boat. What's the situation 6 months later? You still want it? You still envious? How much does envy drive your life? And how much are we willing to yield to have things our way? How much of our energy goes towards good fruit? How much of our energy goes to being peaceable, being impartial? Making peace is not equal compromising. In the church, we have many opportunities to bear good fruit. The reason we clean up the highway, the reason that we have the food bank, the reason we do the coat thing, the reason that we have something like we had Wednesday night for seniors who have reached an important level in life, is because that's what God calls us as Christians to be, people who are hospitable. Lover of hospitality, not a striker, just, holy, temperate, patient, good report of those outside. That's how we do it, folks. Get involved. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you. Like a mother caring for her little children, we nurture. And that means we don't force feed. In Titus 2 and verse 15, the writer says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And then continuing into the third chapter, this is Titus 3, starting with verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. We are to be good citizens. To be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. To be peaceful and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. How do we do this? Well, listen to the rest of this passage. Again, I'm in Titus 3, towards verse 15. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, arguments, and quarrels about the law. You're not going to hear a political message in this pulpit when I'm up here. I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Dixiecrat or whatever. It's important to understand that one of the ways we grow as a body is for us to stay out of things that have nothing to do with church and that generate, quote, foolish controversies, arguments, quarrels about law, because these are unprofitable. Spiritually, they're unprofitable. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. Because you see, all of this political stuff is useless. You say, well, you don't sound like a very good American. I'm a veteran. I'm an American. I served in the military for 7 years. I believe in America, but not religiously. That's not going to become part of my service to Jesus Christ. And I would urge you to do the same. We can be gentle by the things that God has called us to do. We are to be teachers, not enforcers. And our methods should be clear. In 2 Timothy 2, and I'd encourage you to turn there and read this with me. In Timothy, the second chapter, starting with verse 22, there's an admonition that every one of us needs to hear. This is coming from Jesus Christ, not from me. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. We're not debaters here. The church is not a place for quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. I got tested yesterday. Brenda and I were working the highway down near the woods. And some guy came out of a driveway in a truck, in a pickup. And he's like from me to 51 away, and he lays on his horn. And he keeps coming towards me. I'm walking across the road. By the time he got about 30 or 40 feet from me, I'm off the blacktop. He's still got his horn going. There's nobody coming the other way. And he comes over on the gravel. I got on the grass. He's still blowing his horn. And he made a couple of hand gestures as he goes by. We don't get a lot of that, but every once in a while it happens. What do you think my initial reaction was? The Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. Was I going to be kind to this guy? If he'd stopped the truck, I'd have had a struggle. Able to teach, not resentful. All I can tell you is that truck was black and it was big. I can't tell you anything else about it because I was looking at him. Those who oppose him must gently instruct. Have we grown enough as Christians to be gentle? That's the subject of this sermon. Grow up. Don't be a child anymore. Verse 22. Avoid silly disputes. Verse 23. Be kind to everyone, even the idiot that's driving his truck too close to you. Yeah, I know, I'm still irritated. Able to teach, not quarreling. Verse 24. Gently instruct, be gentle in correcting. Verses 24 and 25. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. As Christians, we have the ultimate example of gentleness. Look what they did to Jesus. And look at his response. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Remember the passage we started with? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let God's Spirit work within you. Study these verses. The reason we give you the bulletin with the outline of the sermon is that in your quiet time this week, spend a few minutes with these verses. And talk to God about helping you become a more gentle person. And God will bless you. This is a gift of God. This is something God gives you. But you know something? We talked about this last week. You can either accept it or you can reject it. You can either grow in gentleness or you can become a crabby old person. You must not strangle the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. You can strangle God's Spirit. We're to be like Jesus. But as you think about Jesus, what do you visualize? Do you see Jesus as some kind of a superhuman? Listen, folks, Jesus was just like you and just like me as far as his physical appearance was concerned on this earth. How do I know that? Because Judas had to kiss him to identify him. If Jesus was 10 feet tall and had a radiant face and all that had Jesus has to do is describe him. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. He could pass through a crowd unnoticed and did it repeatedly. What made Jesus stand out was his gentleness, was his meekness, was all the characteristics we've talked about for the past 5 weeks. And you say, well, I can't do that. No, I can't either. But I tell you these bad stories about myself is to try and get you to understand we're not going to be perfect. But we can be complete. And we have the promise of God that the blood of Christ will continually cleanse us. Read 1 John, first chapter. When we are baptized, we become a new creature. Romans 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Our life becomes new when we study God's Word. Our life becomes new when we take the kind of thing we've heard this morning. Not that it's come from me, that it's come from God's Word. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. And understand that you can be a new person. You can have a new life. And that happens when we're baptized into Christ. It also happens when we say to the Lord in prayer, Father, forgive me. I make so many mistakes. But we can also be confident. We can leave this building today knowing there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If in any way you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge you to come to the front. Let us pray with you. If you need to be baptized, let us assist you in that. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?